Would you get your Bibles out? Would you open your Bibles to the book of Joshua? Joshua chapter 1. You will have to use your Bible because I will not have any scriptures on the screen. Today I'm starting a brand new series for you, and it's going to take, I don't know how many parts I will have to this. It will be 5 to 7 probably. I'm going to be talking to you in different parts on the subject of divine healing. I want to talk to you about divine healing. Today I want to talk to you about preparing for battle. The reason I want to do a series on divine healing is because one day you're going to need to be healed, if not today. One day you're going to know someone that needs to be healed, if not today. And you are going to face situations in life that deal with your body, deal with life, deal with other people, and you're going to need to know what I am sharing with you in this series. I am going to be saying some things in this series, not today probably, but I promise I'll say some things that will make you think, that you may even go, whoa, wait a minute, are you sure? And I'll show you in scripture. So I'm not afraid to back up everything I'm going to tell you in scripture. And I want you to understand, we'll be covering topics in this series about, for an example, the words of your mouth. Did you know your mouth can make you sick and it can make you well? And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, I'm going to do a talk in this series on the sovereignty of God. And what is the sovereignty of God? What does that mean? How's that? I want to show you from scripture that in the atonement, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's will for you to be healed. God wants you well. God would like you to be healed. And we're going to show you how to get that and how to become well in Jesus' name. Today, I'm going to be talking about preparing for battle. What I have to share with you today applies to everything in life. Every single time you pray any type of prayer, you're going to need to know what I'm saying today. It applies to everything. You are about to enter a battle, whether it's for healing for your body or finances for your life or relationship situation. If you are facing a challenge, a large thing, something big, you need to know what we're going to talk about today. Today, I'm going to tell you 7 things that you should have in your life so that you are prepared to battle anything. Battle sickness, battle finances, battle demonic powers, battle the enemy who's trying to tell you that you are not accepted, not good, God wants you sick, God wants to take your job away, whatever it is. You need to know how to go to battle. So I decided from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit through prayer to pick someone from the Old Testament who has probably found himself in the most difficult position of anyone. Now, there are some amazing stories in the Old Testament of challenges, but I thought I would pick Pastor Josh's favorite topic, and that's Joshua. And in the first 6 chapters of the book of Joshua, God lays out an outline on what you should do in order to go to battle. Let's think about Joshua for a moment. Joshua is about to take over for the most famous person in the entire world. Joshua is going to become the second or the new commander in chief of an entire nation and has to lead them into an area that Moses failed. Moses was supposed to take him into the promised land. And Moses did a couple of things that disqualified him for that assignment. And God allowed Moses to see into the promised land before he died. And Moses is an amazing person. I mean, when you think about the Old Testament, Moses has to come up to the top of one of the greatest people in the Old Testament for all that he did and the leading of the people of Israel and the trust and faith in God to do the 10 miraculous signs and wonders that God did in the land of Egypt. Joshua was his assistant for a number of years. When Moses went to the top of the mountain to get the 10 commandments and he didn't eat or drink for 40 days. You can only do that by supernatural provision in the presence of God. Joshua was halfway up the mountain waiting for Moses. And when Moses finally came down, Joshua met him and then they went and heard all the commotion and found the golden calf and they destroyed it and they did all that stuff. And then the two of them went back up the mountain for another 40 days. So Moses is back up at the top of the mountain. Joshua's halfway. Now think about it. Joshua halfway up, he's thinking, is that guy ever coming back? Maybe he's dead. Maybe a wild animal got him. I mean, to stay put and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and then waited on Moses as his assistant. And then God chooses Joshua to take over, not only to take over for the most famous person in the known world. And we are talking, he is so known that people have never met him, lands far away, heard about what Moses did with his God in Egypt, and now he destroyed the army of Egypt and the economy of Egypt. So what's happening is this guy, Joshua, is about to take over Moses' position, going to take the people of Israel into the promised land, and is about to enter into war, physical combat, for 5 years. It's a five-year war. It takes Joshua 5 years to take the land and to divide it up and then give it to the different tribes and have them all have it. So Joshua is about to go to battle, and this battle is 5 years long. And I think if we know what God told Joshua how to prepare for battle, it would tell us how to prepare for battle. So we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So I'm going to give you seven different points that I find in the first six chapters of the book of Joshua. We're not going to read every verse, but we're going to skim through that and get those points. The first one is God gives a command and a vision for your future. You need to know that whenever you're about to go in battle, the first thing that you're going to have is the Omega. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the last. He's the first and the end. He will show you the end result. Not the beginning until you start. He will give you the end result so he develop that you can develop a vision and you can see where God wants you. What happens is if you are facing sickness, or if you are facing a need for divine healing, and that's the topic I'm on right now, but it can be applied to anything else in your life, finances or other things. If you are in need of financial help, if you are in need of physical healing, you need to see the end result. You need to see what God sees. And if you're able to see what God sees, that's the very beginning. God gives you a command and a vision for your future. The Lord would not have told you to do something that he was not already backing you up for success. He's not telling Joshua to go into the land unless he's there to back him up. He's not telling you to believe that he is your healer, that he is the God that provides, unless he's going to back it up. And you need to also understand that God's word, it is his bond, and he has said it, and he will do it. He will back up his plan with his promises, and he will lead you that way. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I want you to focus on this. Every place you step your foot, I have given it to you. He didn't say, I will give it to you. I have given it to you. And you're going to find out that God speaks to Joshua in the present tense of something that hasn't happened yet as if it has. God calls those things that are not as though they will are, according to the New Testament. You need to know that's how God sees things. God is already looking at you as healed and already has called you well. He has already looked at you and called you prosperous. He has already looked at you and called you, your prayers are already answered. We now just have to connect with his plan to see it happen. And we have to start at the Alpha to end up in the Omega. So every place that you set your foot, you know, will tread upon, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. Now, in verse 4 and verse 5, he talks about all the places that they are going to have. Look at verse 6. He says to Joshua in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. No, look at this verse. Here's what he says. Be strong and good courage, because you're going to divide the land. He's reassuring the end result. He said, you're going to be around long enough to divide the land to all the tribes. So in the middle of battle, you're going to remember, oh, I'm going to make it through this battle. I'm going to make it to the end. I'm going to keep on going. God is going to do something. So you need to know, number two is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You should not be afraid. Also, if you looked for the notes of my sermon in the app, you probably didn't find them, right? You did? You shouldn't have. They weren't supposed to be released until 11:30, so don't look at them. I want you to take notes. I want you to write in your Bible or in your computer. So number two, be strong. Do not be afraid. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So here's what he says. Don't be afraid. Verse 7, it says to observe according to the law which he has given through Moses, and that you need to stick to the word. You need to do what God's word says. Look at verse 8. The book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That Hebrew word for meditate means to repeat it, to say it, to speak it. It means also to say it to yourself. The world wants to say if you talk to yourself that you must be crazy, but God says you need to talk to yourself. You need to tell yourself the promises of God, the word of God. Remind yourself what God has declared and who you are in Christ. This word meditate means that you need to say the word day and night, again, in the morning, in the evening. You need to communicate the promises of God and what you are holding on to, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. God says to us, in order for us to succeed in the battle of health, in order for us to succeed in the battle of finances, in order for us to succeed in the battle of relationships, we're going to have to lean on the word of God. The word of God will be more important to you than what you see, hear, or feel. When you are in a battle, when you are in war, when you are facing something that you have to fight for, there's going to be moments that you don't feel like you're going to win. There's going to be moments where it doesn't look like you're going to win. There's going to be moments where it's not looking that great, but you need to lean on the word of God, the promises of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to hold on and keep going. So God will not leave you. Look what it says here in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Remember, Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Here's the Old Testament telling God, is telling Joshua, I'll be with you. I'll be there. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So why, when you are under great pressure of life, or you're going through a difficult situation, or you are facing a test or trial or pressure that has to do with your body, if you are facing something that is challenging to you, you are facing a physical need, a healing, why would you say, God, where are you? When Scripture says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why would you say, God, why did you let this happen to me? When Scripture says, I'm on your side. I can't wait to talk to you about the sovereignty of God, but that's not today. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. He now tells the people what God told him. Joshua now goes out and communicates to others his vision and the plan of God. Number three, do what God has told you to do and quit asking for more and more signs. You know what people do? You say, God, you know, just reassure, make this happen, do this, do that. You know, if you only did this, then I would believe you. Quit and simply believe. Believe that God's on your side. Believe the promises of God. Believe what you're reading in the Bible. Believe that the Lord will hold his word and he will manifest it in your life. Do not doubt those scriptures. Do not doubt the word of God. And quit asking God to prove that he's God. And start believing he is. Well, didn't Gideon do a fleece? First of all, you're not Gideon. Second of all, you're not hiding from an army who's trying to kill you. And third, we have been, in the New Testament, communicated and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and been told that the promises of God are ours. He wants you to grow to a place where you are not looking for signs and wonders. You're not looking for signs and signposts. You're looking for God. But look what happens. Joshua now, beginning in verse 12, he starts telling others what God and what to do, what the will of God is, and God's word, all the way through the end of the chapter. Then we get to chapter 2, and in chapter 2, it's the story of Rahab. And if you've never heard the story of Rahab, you should read it. Here it is real quick. Rahab was in Jericho. Two spies went to Jericho. They went out to spy the land, and the people tried to find them. Rahab hid them. One of the guys that she hid end up being her husband later on, gets married to him. And she gets in agreement with him and says, hey, we are afraid because your God is strong, and spare me and my family. So they get this agreement going, and we get all the way down, if you will now, look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 23. We get to the end of Rahab's story with the two spies. It says in verse 23, so the two spies returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, listen to this, they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. If you follow the word of God, he will give you signposts that you are on the correct road. Quit asking for signs, but God will give them to you. For an example, some of you are quite aware that over a year ago, doctors found a spot in my prostate. Doctors have been convinced, a couple of urologists are convinced that it has to be cancer. That's just what they say. It's got to be cancer. They don't know if it's a fast-growing cancer, slow-growing cancer. So for the past year, I've been in a journey of receiving healing from God for my prostate and doing a journey that God has taken me in a more holistic way with some dietary things, some supplements, some other approaches that I will get into in the series later. But there are signposts come. There are signposts that Kim, who leads our outreach for the motel outreach and helps, you know, get the bags together for people to give them to the homeless, you know, she had a vision and shared that vision with me, and she saw, the vision was a little toy green soldier holding a sign that says victory. And it was one of those little green soldiers. You guys have no clue that, unless you're older like me, the little green man with the little green foot things that, so it could stand up. And this green soldier was holding up the sign, and it said, victory. Well, what Kim didn't know is, when I was a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, that was my favorite toy. Those army men, those green army men, you know. And it was very, very special to me. Now, God gives her an image of a green army man holding a sign that says victory. And ever since she has told me that, I have thought about it at least 3 times a week. Holding that sign, victory, victory, is a sign from God. But I didn't ask for it. I'm just believing God. I'm just believing God, and he brings the signposts. So what we need to understand is, let's go to Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early. And also, I'm doing very well, guys, okay? I'm still here. I'm healthy. I'm moving on. I'm believing God. I'll give you some report. I'll tell you my system, what I've been doing as part of this series, and what I say with my mouth, and that we'll get into that in the weeks to come. Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Listen to this. Yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go for, and this is the important part, if you have a paper Bible, I would underline this, I would star it, for you have not passed this way before. You haven't gone this way. And here's what's the next one is that you need to know. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into places and situations that you have never been before, and you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You need to embrace the Holy Spirit. You need to believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, leading you, and guiding you, because you will go into, in this battle, in this journey, your battle for health, your battle for finances, your battle for anything else, whatever it is you're praying and believing God for, new career, new job, retirement, or call. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. And you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you're about to go to some place you've never been before. So if you think you know what to do, you're not leading on the Holy Spirit. You need to have faith to the point that you are fixed on the end result, that you are not going to give up on the end result. The end result is I'm graduating from college and I'm going into a career that God has called me. You may start college and not know what that career is, or you may start college and start a career, start in a certain path and change three times before you graduate. But what you are seeking is the will of God. Also, it's the same with healing. You're seeing yourself well. You're seeing yourself whole. You're seeing yourself that God is brought you to complete, absolute healing. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua, starting in verse 6, going through verse 13, Joshua gives instructions to the priest on what to do. And then starting in verse 14, the Bible tells us the story of them crossing over the Jordan River. Listen close. This is very important. Because I said you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And they told him, I said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant and you see the priests and the Levites, don't get too close. Why? Let it be guided until you can see where it's going, because you don't know where you're going. If you get too close, it might go left and you go right. You need to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit that you believe the Holy Spirit has gone before you and he's guiding you. You're on a journey with him. You're following the Holy Spirit. You're not leading the Holy Spirit. You're not telling the Holy Spirit, we're going to go over there, Holy Spirit, and we're going to do this. And the Holy Spirit, nah, you messed up, dude. And what you need to understand is God now tells the people of Israel, listen what happens. Do you remember the story with Moses in the Red Sea? Did you see the movie by Disney, Prince of Egypt? It was a great movie, great, great cartoon. You know, real close to the Bible. They did a great job on that one. And the only problem that I had trouble with was the whale in the Red Sea. That was a little different. But Joshua is told by God, he tells the people of Israel, he says to everybody, the priests are going to go first carrying the covenant. And they're going to go over the Jordan River. At the time of year that they're going over the Jordan River, it's flooded. And it flooded every year at this time. It's this that time of year where there's a lot of rain and it floods. And they said that when the priests touch the water, the water will part. So the priests have the Ark of the Covenant. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They come up to the Jordan River. It's not parting, not parting, not parting, not going anywhere, not going anywhere. And when the toe of the priest touched the water, the Bible says, it's the part we're skipping. I'm just giving you a summary of it. The Bible says the water stopped and backed up, backed up, backed up, backed up, backed up, back up to the city of Adam. Whoa, God wants a clean man and clean house all the way to Adam. And the water stopped at Adam. And it was supposed to go into the Dead Sea, I believe it was. I think is where it dumps into. Completely dry. The priests come across. They get the Ark of the Covenant and get in the middle of the river and stop. And everybody crosses. Everybody goes. And the ground is dry. But it didn't happen until he put his foot in the water. His foot had to get wet. So many of you are demanding that God show you that you're healed before you believe you are. You're demanding that God part the water before you enter it, where faith just moves because it's told to move. A lot of us don't want to do anything that we haven't seen is safe. Where God is saying, trust me, and now walk. That's what the journey of faith is all about. Go to Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. So here's what happened. God says, I want you to get one guy from every tribe, and they're going to go right where the priests were standing, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and everybody get a stone. Get the biggest stone you can carry. Bring it on over to the other side where you're going to lodge and where they are going to stay, and we're going to end up making a memorial for it. Then it says in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these signs, these stones shall be for a memorial to your children, Israel. I want you to notice how it emphasizes the water moved because of the Lord, not because of the priest. You are going to see things happen in your life because of the Lord, not because of you. If you are the one that thinks you accomplish everything, then you are leaving the direction and the Holy Spirit and the protection of the Holy Spirit, and you are getting into a place of pride. But this is supposed to be emphasized that it's the Lord that caused the water to part. The Lord is answering your prayer. The Lord is the one that heals. The Lord is the one that is winning your battle for you. You are in the battle with the Lord. The Lord's not in the battle with you. You are following the Holy Spirit. He's not following you. It's very, very important. But then what happens is they set up these 12 stones. They put these 12 stones and said, when your children ask, what does this mean? You tell them, the Lord parted the water. So what you need to know is number 5, remember, remember, remember. Build memories. Build memories. You need to somehow remember what the Lord has done, whether that is a journal, whether that is just writing it in something, putting it in your phone, whether it's documenting it somehow. I don't care how you do it. Because everybody's different. Some people love to journal and some people hate it. If you hate it, don't do it. But somehow, don't forget the victories God has done for you in the past. I would just like to state that the people of Israel didn't journal. They stoned. They didn't get stoned. They stoned. They stacked stones. So maybe when you have some big victory, maybe you do something that visually reminds you of it. You know, that you remember the event. For an example, at my house right now, when we were at the Ryder Cup, the American team had a shirt, different shirt, for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I had pre-bought all three shirts, and I wore them on those 3 days. They are now in my closet, so when I went golfing Friday, I wore one. It was a memorial. I remember being there. I was there. In fact, the guy in the pro shop goes, "Oh, you got a Ryder Cup shirt." I was there. He goes, "You were there? How did you get tickets?" I got tickets because the church bought the tickets for me a year ago for my 70th birthday. It was a birthday celebration. He was so impressed. It was awesome. But you have to have, then we tell our granddaughter, "Oh, we're going to bring you something back." Because she's, "Aren't you going to bring me something back from New York?" So she's not listening right now, so I can tell. It was at the last minute in the airport, found a sweatshirt that said, "New York." Funny part is when we landed in Santa Ana, you know, 5-6 hours later, and got off the plane right there in the gift shop. Exact same one that said Orange County. Same material, same manufacturer, same color. It was wild. But our granddaughter has a memorial. Maybe if you don't journal, maybe you should do something like that. Maybe you should set up some stones. Could be like you buy something and you put it on a shelf and it reminds you of that event, that victory, that moment. You need to remember. You need to always remember the victories of God. You need to think about that. When God has done something big in your life, get a memorial in your home for it. Set up memorials, super important. So then let's skip down to, we are going to skip all the way down to Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, Joshua now is required by God to have all the men that were born in the wilderness that were not circumcised, have them circumcised. In other words, let's prepare for battle by getting us all in alignment with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. They are living under the law of Moses, and it's required on the eighth day of when a boy is born to circumcise them. And so they did not circumcise people in the wilderness. It shows you too, they weren't really trying to stick with God and the ways of God. They were missing some very basic things. So all the men had to get circumcised. So when they all got circumcised, they had to sit down and spend a couple of days healing. And while they were healing, a couple things happened. Verse 8. So it was, we are in Joshua chapter 5, verse 8. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day." The name Gilgal means to be roll. It means to roll away. And what God is saying is, now that you guys got all in together and all in one accord and all in harmony, and we're going to follow God under God's plan, now that you've done it, I've rolled away the reproach. And God is saying, you guys are now ready for battle. There may be some things in your life you have to do to get ready for battle. The Holy Spirit may say, you know what? You've been holding this grudge. You got to get that grudge out of your life. You need to go to that person and say, you know, let's fix this, whatever it might be. But there may be something else. God may tell you, they had to get circumcised. God may tell you in the middle of your battle, it's time for you to take that step of faith and become a tither. It's time for you to take that step of faith and become more of a involved in worship. It may be time for you to take that step of faith and become a person that prays not just for yourself, but for other people. There could be something that God moves in your life to get you in alignment that would be your present day circumcision in that sense. And then in verse 10, "Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate," this is super important, verse 11, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on that day. After they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. As soon as the land could provide for their needs, the miracle stopped. There are times where you need a miracle, and there are times you don't need a miracle. You just need to do something. And in this situation, they need to harvest the food. They need to prepare the food. They need to be part, now be in agriculture. They need to move that direction. You may need to get a job. You may need to change jobs. You may need something in the middle of your battle. A miracle could happen. If you need it, God will provide for it. I think the greatest example of that is when Peter was in jail. Peter was in jail, supposed to be executed the next day, and an angel shows up, and an angel knocks off the chains that are tying Peter to the soldier. But then the angel tells Peter, put on your coat. And then they walk together to a locked door, and the angel opened the door. And then once they were outside, the angel's gone, and Peter can now go to Rhoda's house, and go to the prayer meeting. You know, in other words, you need to do what you can do. God will do what you cannot do. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Look what happens. Get this image. There is someone Joshua has never met. And this person is in full battle array. Pulls, and the sword is out. And the sword is out because you are prepared for battle. Something or someone is going to die. That's what that sword is out for. Joshua sees this person and starts thinking, ooh. Are you from Jericho? Are you for us? Are you for them? And look what it says. So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face so that the earth, to the earth, and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Here's what Joshua asked. This, what we do know, and all theologians agree, that this is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He's the commander of the armies of the Lord. His sword is out. Joshua says to Jesus, are you for them or are you for us? And the answer is no. You would say to Jesus, found in the wilderness, sword drawn in the park or someplace, you would say, Republican or Democrat? And he would say, no. Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat, but he has his people in both parties. He is not for Jericho or for them. He is for him. And he's telling Joshua, no, you got it wrong, dude. It's not I'm for you or I'm for them. This commander of the Lord's army has a family in Jericho he wants to save, being under the leadership right now of Rahab. He's got believers in Jericho that he wants out. He's got believers in Israel that he wants in. He wants to be able to do his plan. What you need to realize is, it is not whether you're on, that God's on your side or on your enemy's side, you're on his side. And he says this in verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Verse 1, chapter 6, now Jericho is securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, circle that word, mark it in your Bible. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. What? Okay, We're standing over there by the river. This guy is very impressive. He's got war gear on. He finds out that he is the Lord, and Joshua knows it in his heart, falls to the ground. He falls to the ground to worship him. And then he says, the Lord says to Joshua, see Jericho? Well, he looks over to Jericho. You have to understand, Jericho's walls were so thick, they could do chariot races on them. No, that's what's wrong with the movies. When and the little songs that we teach kids, the walls come tumbling down. Imagine this. The walls are so thick, Rahab's apartment's in the wall. They could race chariots on top of the wall all the way around the whole city. So if the walls that thick, they didn't tumble down. They went into the ground. It's the only way the men could get over the walls. If they just fall into rubble, they're still super high. That's a lot of rubble. There's no way you're going to get in and take over and scare the heaven out of everybody. Angels, I believe, stepped on the wall and pushed him into the ground. And one day, I think people who dig, archaeologists, will prove that to be correct, or we go to heaven and I'll wait for God to say I was right. But here's what I want you to see. God says to Joshua, see, I have already given it to you. And he looked at him, looked at the city. That's a scary city. The city, not only was the wall so thick, is on top of a hill. It's elevated. You have to go up the hill, and then you have the walls. But God is already declaring, see, I have healed you. See, I have provided for you. See, I have made you whole. See your healing. See your deliverance. And he says, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. So number six, the Lord is on his side. You need to be on his side and not him on your side. God has believers in both camps, and he has his plan, and he's going to carry out his plan. I know some I've had people tell me that if you're a Democrat, that you're living in sin. I've had people tell me that. Yeah, you're like crazy, dude. I've had other people said that, you know, Republicans are horrible because they're just a group of hate. I said, you're crazy, dude. It's not being a Republican or being a Democrat. It's not being black or being white. It's not being male nor female. It's a matter of being on the Lord's side. Jesus Christ died for every single person on planet Earth. And there are believers in all kinds of camps. And we have to be on the Lord's side because he has a plan. Then look at verse 3 and 4. And we wrap this up with verse 3 and 4. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Here's what I want you to understand, number 7. Number 7 is worship is always before victory. You always have to give thanksgiving before you see total deliverance. Victory is first on scene. You grab it inside, and then it comes to the outside. You see by the eye of faith. Worship needs to begin now, not when you see victory. Do you know how many people withhold worship from God until they're healed? Instead of worshiping God because God already sees you well? God sees you well. Well, Pastor, does that mean that you think God wants everybody healed? Yeah, I do. And I'll prove it from Scripture. Well, what happens if they go to the doctor? What's that got to do with it? Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Any system that is created to relieve pain and suffering is from God. Any system that is created to help your body heal itself is from God. There are times where God heals instantly, right at that split second. And there are times where you are in a journey following the Holy Spirit to the end result, your omega, your complete healing. So, well, what happens if somebody died and they were believing to be healed? Well, they are healed then, right? Either way, you're going to win. Going to win. But we need to know victory is first. Excuse me. Worship is first. Worship because you believe you have the victory. These principles, God gives you a command and a vision for your future is the first thing. You shouldn't be afraid. You need to follow God, be of good courage. Do what God has told you to do. Start doing life, live life, get into life, do what God is telling you to do. Be part of life. The Holy Spirit will guide you into places and situations that you have never been before. Remember, make, and build memories. Build memorials. And the Lord is on His side. We are on His side. And worship. You need to worship before victory. Did you learn something today? Could we give the Lord a hand for His word? You say, well, Pastor, if you're going to speak on divine healing, what was all this about? This is all preliminary information. Stuff that you're about to go into battle and you need to know these things as you go to battle and win. God wants you to have victory. He wants you to succeed. So we're going to go further in this series and we're going to cover all kinds of things that will aid you in being healed, but you will find those same principles working in other areas of your life. I don't like to ever communicate the word of God, give a sermon, give a talk, whatever you got, want to call it. I don't want to be in front of you and share God's word without you getting an opportunity to put the word of God into action. So we're going to do a couple of things. First of all, the most important thing above all is, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life? Let me ask you this question. If later today your life ended, you died, is over, would you go to heaven? And if your answer is, I hope so, I think so, I'm not sure, or no, then you need to get connected to the power of the rebirth that is found in relationship with Jesus Christ that He has already paid for. The Bible says this, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Greek word sozo means to be delivered, to be saved, to be healed, to be well, to be brought into the family of God and have all that God has for you. Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? If you haven't, we need to do it today. Whether you're watching online, whether you're in the house, would everybody bow your head, close your eyes? With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're saying, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus into my life, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but you want to be in the family of God, if that's you, would you lift your hand anywhere in the room? Just put your hand up anywhere in the room. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Same at home. If you're watching online, put your hand up right there wherever you're at watching. Put your hand up. Say, Jesus, I need you. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want everyone to say this prayer out loud just so that we make everybody in the house and at home comfortable so they can focus on Jesus. So say this after me. Dear God, we'll do it again. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. That He died on the cross to give me life. On this day, I call on the Lord to be my deliverer, my Savior, my God. On this day, I am born again. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.